Well, we're in the second week of our new series for Lent that we're calling Gracious Living. Gracious Living may sound like a lifestyle magazine, but this series is much more than talking about beautiful homes or elegant events and fine dining. It's more than high fashion. This series is about living with the help of divine grace, a little help from above, you might say. And as we've already said, grace is a gift of love from God. Grace is his loving favor and kindness towards us, even in our worst moments. Grace is totally free and absolutely undeserved. You can't earn it. It's not a reward for good behavior. But when we're open to receiving grace, grace actually helps us through life. Grace makes life easier. Last week, we kicked off this series with the first of four benefits of grace, and that is that the first one is that grace reveals something to us. Grace reveals to us the truth about God. We can understand a lot about God just from our intellect and our reason, but we can't understand fully about God unless we have faith. And grace helps us with faith. Grace reveals the truth about who God is for us. But grace also reveals the truth about who we are to God, that we are his beloved sons and daughters, and that he loves us unconditionally. And because of that, we don't have to prove our worth or somehow justify our existence on this planet. Because God reveals to us who we really are in his eyes, it's just a huge relief from all the demands and expectations of this world. Well, this week we're going to look at the second benefit of grace. Grace elevates our whole existence to God. You know, a lot of people, like myself, will eat nutritious food, try to exercise regularly, and drink lots of water to have a healthy body. But grace is what enables us to have a healthy soul. Grace is transformative. It is restorative. When we're open to receiving God's grace, when we actually ask for it, when we welcome it into our lives, grace can generate a true interior change in our souls. It can make everything in our life better and easier. Grace can elevate us beyond all that baggage and all that stuff that weighs us down, like the daily news cycle, the worry about the banks tomorrow. It can elevate us beyond all the gossip, the petty gossip that we hear and the judgment of our neighbors. Grace can help us shed the baggage of our negativity and cynicism and fears, and it can open us to a form of gracious living that imitates the qualities of God, like love and mercy and kindness and compassion. The church calls this sanctifying grace because it sanctifies us. It makes us holy, little by little. Sanctifying grace helps us to overcome sin. It helps us to raise our souls to God's own life. This is what theologians mean when they say that grace builds on nature. You may have heard this before. Grace builds on nature. But that means that grace perfects the human soul. It elevates our fallen human nature. You could think of it like the string of a guitar or a violin. By itself, that string on that guitar can do nothing, right, Jackson? Can't do anything by itself. But when the guitarist or the violinist comes along and moves that string or strums that string, together the instrument produces beautiful music. That's the beautiful thing about grace. It's like a partnership between God and us so that we can live beautiful lives. In other words, grace perfects the soul, which enables us to live with God in our lives and to act by his love. The gospel story this week, a long one, I know, but it's powerful. And it's a great example of the way that grace can elevate our souls. In the story, Jesus and his disciples were headed out of Jerusalem. Now you can see on the map here that Jerusalem is down there in the south part of Palestine. And he was headed north to Galilee, that region up in the north there near the Sea of Galilee, right at the top of that map. And sandwiched in between those two areas is a territory called Samaria. And it was inhabited by Samaritans. And you may have heard of the parable of the Good Samaritan. It's a very famous parable. But the truth is that the Jewish people hated the Samaritans. They were mortal enemies of the Jewish people. So Jesus comes to this small town in Samaria, and it's got a well outside the city limits. And he's tired from his journey, and he sat down there at the well. And here's an important detail. It was about noon. And then a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Now, there's two things that you need to know about wells in those days in order to understand this story. First of all, wells were the center of gossip in those days. The other day, I went to get a mani-pedi. It's not something I would normally do, but it was a gift from someone. And let me tell you, the amount of gossip was unbelievable in that nail salon. But that's the way it was at the well. The young women would come because that was their job, to draw water, and they would gossip about everybody. The second thing you need to know about wells is that you would never go there in the heat of the day, not in a desert region like that. You would go in the cool of the evening. That's when everybody went. So why was this Samaritan woman there at the well in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, by herself? Something was not right. As we'll learn later, she had made some bad decisions and had come alone because she was trying to avoid the judgmental stares of the other women. Because of her checkered past, she felt inadequate. She felt ashamed. This woman needed grace. So Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Now notice how Jesus initiates the conversation. This is always the way it is with God's grace. When it comes to grace, God always initiates. God makes the first move. It's something that theologians call prevenient grace. It means that God's grace comes before anything we can do to elevate ourselves, anything we can do to become better human beings. Requires God's grace first. Also, what's interesting is that what Jesus did was technically improper. In those days, in the Jewish mindset, a Samaritan woman was considered impure. And so a Jewish person would not receive or never drink from any vessel that a Samaritan woman had handled. The woman knew that and said to Jesus, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" But you see, Jesus was above those cultural and gender stereotypes. And he longed to give this woman grace. So he responded, "Hey, if you knew the gift of God," what does he mean? The grace that comes through him, Jesus Christ. If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water, spiritual water, water that lasts forever, the Holy Spirit, grace. And throughout this whole narrative, Jesus keeps trying to elevate the woman's thinking to a higher spiritual plane, but she keeps pushing back with her limited understanding of the here and the now and the material world. So she says, "Come on, sir, you don't even have a bucket. And the well is really deep. How are you going to get this water?" So Jesus tries again to elevate her. He says, "Everyone who drinks this water, the well water, they're going to be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." And that's the point where the woman suddenly stops arguing. She stops challenging Jesus with questions and just asks him for the water. She knew she needed it, She knew something was missing in her life. And friends, that's the beginning of the journey for every one of us. Whatever is weighing you down today, whatever problems you have in your life, whatever suffering you're going through or a loved one is going through, whatever difficulties at work or school or in your marriage that you're working through right now, the beginning of the journey to a better life is to do what that woman did. Sir, give me this water. We have to be thirsty for grace. It's how we get it. We have to want it. We have to say to God, God, I can't do this anymore on my own. I can't live according to my own terms and the way I want to. God, I just can't go through this alone anymore. I need you. Please give me your grace. And at the end of the story, Jesus tells the woman that he was the Messiah, and she finally understood. And then she left her water jar and went into the town. Another important detail. She left her water jar because she didn't need it anymore. She had the waters of life, the waters of the grace of Jesus Christ. She left behind her sin. She left behind her baggage. She left behind her worry and anxiety. She left behind her shame. God had elevated her soul in that conversation with Jesus. Her burdens had been lifted. For the Samaritan woman, life just got easier. This weekend, you have a unique opportunity to make life easier for a lot of people. Today, we launch our Archdiocesan Annual Appeal. It's the time every year where we raise funds to support the important work of the Archdiocese of San Francisco. And I feel so committed and so strong about this. And I want to speak with you a little bit, but first I want you to take a look at this video from the Archdiocese.
As Catholics here in the Archdiocese of San Francisco, we are blessed to live in a vibrant, diverse, and faith-filled community. In these three counties on the west side of the bay, San Francisco, San Mateo, and Marin, our Catholics participate in the ministries of our church by sharing generously of their gifts, especially of their time, their talent, and their treasure. In particular, your generous support to the Archdiocesan Annual Appeal will make possible so many ministries throughout our archdiocese. In this video, you will see some examples of all the great works that your generosity helps to support. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light for my path.
I'm Father Ray Reyes, the pastor of St. Augustine Church.
The parish where I am right now, majority of our families don't go to Catholic schools. If this parish doesn't have any faith formation program, where will this population of young people get their faith?
I'm Pat Mann. I'm the Director of Religious Education for St. Paul the Shipwreck, Our Lady of Lourdes, and All Hallows.
Most of my teachers, they're moms that brought their kids to catechism.
I do love this class. Every week I come in that class and something, Holy Spirit charges me and we're on and we're there.
We don't want to lose our kids. We don't want to lose our teenagers. I think if we don't commit ourselves to keep passing on that faith in our children, nobody else is gonna do it for us.
Children and teachers from St. Paul the Shipwreck, Our Lady of Lourdes, and All Hallows benefit constantly by the funds that are given through the appeal to the Office of Faith Formation. Sister Celeste has been able to give us textbooks, emotional support, faith-centered support.
We have 43 catechists who teach the children in public school about the faith. And the annual appeal has been so helpful in making this happen.
I'm Ed Hoffner, Director of Marriage and Family Life Programs for the Archdiocese of San Francisco.
I co-founded Life Giving Wounds Ministry with my wife in 2015. We just started doing simple retreats, but I'm an adult child of divorce, and something that I just felt I needed for my own healing and that I wish I would have had 10 to 15 years earlier, because I felt very alone in my suffering. I remember very distinctly my mom having a group to go to at the diocese for divorcees, but there was nothing for me.
And this is only the second time the retreat's been offered west of the Mississippi, first time ever on the West Coast. So we are the fourth location to have it. And the idea is we bring a retreat team out and they put on the retreat, but in future we want to continue putting on the retreat with local people, people who've been trained. Being able to put on a retreat like this, which is absolutely life-changing, is really meeting the needs of the people of the Archdiocese. Without the support of the Annual Appeal, this would not be possible.
I am Julio Escobar, and I am the Restorative Justice Ministry Coordinator and Director of Excel Network.
I was actually incarcerated for 27 years. I've been out for 6 months at this point.
I was incarcerated for 22 months. I have been home for about 18 months now, and Excel Network has helped me forge a new path by just allowing me to have resources and support to further my education. It's also given me a community.
Excel Network is an opportunity to serve people that are coming out of jail and prison, but those people that are looking for a change in their lives through education. There's a need for this type of ministry because people are hungry to receive human nurturing, human dignity. We can write a check to people and say, here's your scholarship, but that doesn't offer the human dignity that they're looking for, and that's why we exist. So the Annual Appeal supports my position and the functions that I do. So every penny helps to support us. In turn, we support others.
The Excel Network helps me by providing a safe place to achieve, to learn, to communicate, to connect, and be responsible for my behavior, for what I do and what I don't do. I love this place.
Your support of the Archdiocesan Annual Appeal is having a real impact on people's lives. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your commitment to our beautiful Catholic faith. May God's blessings be upon you throughout the year 2023.
When you support the Annual Appeal, you're helping the many ministries and outreach programs in our archdiocese. These programs raise up people who are hurting. They raise them up out of poverty, as you've seen, out of grief, out of loneliness, and other forms of hardship. And by contributing to the Annual Appeal, you're also helping your own parish, because we get help from the archdiocese almost every day. Help that I need to run this parish, advice, support, and resources. Also, every dollar that you give over our goal this year will come back to us, and we're going to use that to paint the exterior of our beautiful church, to give it a little bit of a facelift. Donation forms are in the pews, or on either end of the pews. I would be very grateful if you would pass one to your neighbor, and of course, take one for yourself. And we're going to have a few minutes that you can complete those donation forms now if you haven't already. And you can donate either by check or credit card, or you can make a one-time payment, or you can pledge it over time. However you want to do it, if you're at home, you can do all of this online at sthillary.org. And then when you're finished with your donation form, please drop it into the basket during the collection. You know, Jesus did not need to go through Samaria. Most Jews, when traveling, would take a different route out of Jerusalem. They would go far out of their way to avoid the Samaritans whom they hated and feared. But Jesus went right through Samaria. He went right through Samaria because he wanted to encounter that lonely woman at the well. He knew she would be there, and he knew that he wanted to give her the living water of grace. He wanted to elevate her above her shame and doubt. He thirsted for her soul to be lifted up by God's grace, just as he does for you and for me and for every human being. And when you support the annual appeal, many people who really need our help will be lifted up through God's grace, and you will become a channel, an agent of that amazing grace. Please take just a moment now to complete your donation form. Thank you so much. Thank you for your generosity and support.